Welcome to the What I Wish I Knew After Pregnancy Loss podcast. I am your host, Shana Southern. I am an angel mom, a rainbow mom, a pregnancy loss practitioner, and trauma-informed coach. I created the Institute of Healing Through Pregnancy Loss out of my own experience with loss in the hopes to provide understanding and healing, educating people on pregnancy loss, and creating more women or men in trained support roles. In this podcast, I hope to shed light on what I wish I knew in relation to pregnancy loss, opening up the conversation, breaking the stigma, and bringing real-life stories plus guest experts. Thank you for being here with me today, and let's dive into today's episode. Hello, beautiful souls. Today's episode is part two of a two-part podcast episode. So if you haven't already, I encourage you to go back and listen to part one, and I hope that you find value in part two of this interview as well. Now let's dive in.
One thing I hope that you get, if you're newly bereaved and you're in that place where you haven't smiled for a long time and you're not sure you're going to smile again, life is fun again. And sometimes it's important. That's why support groups, or like friends, like my mom's friend who came over. It's why it can be very important to have people outside your marriage too, to show you it's allowed to be really hard for a really long time. And two, yes, there's another side.
Yeah. I think that's so important to bring awareness to, because the darkness may feel like you're never going to get out of it, but like for yourself, you were there. You were in the darkness, and then you have come out and you've been able to see this light on the other side. You can get through this time that feels like it will be your forever place. You will laugh again. There will be joy again. The hard times will get less and less, and the happier times can become more and more. There'll be a fusion of both throughout your entire life, but the hard days won't be that consuming anymore.
Right. Yes. And that's in every aspect of life. You know, if you're in grief, what I have found that grief took me to very, very dark places, but that it sort of opened up my capacity to feel in every direction. So going way into the depths of sorrow opened up my ability to feel more joy than before I lost my daughter. Like, I really don't think I would be as happy a person if my daughter hadn't died. And that's such a weird thing to say, but it just sort of broke me wide open. And now I can just, it's like life in Technicolor, everything's bigger. I'm sadder than I was before. And I'm also way more joyful than I was before. So it's, you take the gifts when they come, right? That's one thing a lot of people have trouble with at first too, is accepting any gifts from a fate that they don't like. You don't have to accept that something horrible happened to you in order to receive the gifts of it. You don't have to be like, I'm grateful for it. No, but just take what comes because you've more than earned it. Right.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the sexuality thing too, that women find sometimes don't want to have an orgasm again after loss because they feel somehow they aren't deserving, or they want to block it out, or like, what will it mean if I'm able to feel that much pleasure in my body after I'm also grieving? You know, life is short and you're here in this body, and it pays to feel the really hard feelings. Like, you might feel like your heart has been ripped out of your chest, and feel that fully physically, somatically in your body, but also open your body to pleasure when it's available. It's so much easier said than done. A lot of what I do with women around sexuality involves a self-pleasure practice. And we start really small. We start with like a cup of tea you like and how good it smells, right? But any little bit of pleasure in your life, like wear a softer shirt because it feels good on your skin. Feel the wind on your face, right? There's anything that's pleasure, pause, notice, receive. Pause, notice, receive. Baby steps in every direction, right? Mm. Baby steps with intimacy, baby steps with pleasure, baby steps with grief, baby steps with communication. It's okay to go slow. You don't have to be there immediately.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. It's not a race. And if you really do want to build strong foundations, it is almost like you feel like you're back at the start. You feel like you're back at the beginning, relearning how to live your life, relearning how to do you. But that's okay, because you know, often what, like you said, you're kind of broken apart, but what you learn is different. Like it's a different version of you. It's a different tool, a different awareness, a different understanding of yourself and your life and your partner. It's not ever the same thing. Like it's not the same things you've done before. So be open, yeah, to receiving, because it's going to be different and you'll have a different understanding of yourself in that as well. And like you said, you know, when you said it, you've been to the depths and then you've also, you know, experienced the other side. I often say, like, I feel it in myself without that pure heartbreak and heartache. I don't feel like I would have the appreciation for things in my life that I have now. Everything, I always say, you know, everything's brighter. The smells are more intense. The colors are more intense. Like it's a really, and it's almost hard to put into words, but because I was there, because I've been to rock bottom, I think there's a quote and it's like, rock bottom will teach you more than like reaching a mountaintop. So being in rock bottom is going to teach you more about yourself than anything else that you ever experience in your life. And like you said before, there's gifts in that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, it's not, you'd never choose to go there, but there's gifts in that. And being open to knowing how rock bottom can teach you about yourself, about your life, about, you know, things around you. And then when you actually come out of that, that joy is more joyful and the colors and everything in life is just so much more brilliant.
Yeah. Like how alive are you willing to be? How alive are you willing to be when things feel awful? That's how alive you get to be when things feel good, right? I find that people really love hope a lot. And I don't love hope very much anymore. I think it's fine. Like hope is fine. It's a feeling. I feel it sometimes, right? But I think we really fetishize hope. Like you need hope to carry on. No, you don't. And I know because I didn't have it for a while and I still found the other side, right? I always say it's like the way you're using rock bottom. I always say I learned far more from hopelessness than I ever did from hope. And hopelessness also just a feeling. You don't have to be afraid of it. People talk about like, oh, I think I've lost all hope as though like now I'm going to go do something drastic and be dead. And it's like, no, that's not what that means. It just means you have this feeling. If you're willing to be with it, it's okay. It's okay to be hopeless. It just means you don't have hope right now. It's okay. All feelings come around again. It's what they do. They rise, they fall. They come in, they go out, they get bigger. Sometimes they're very uncomfortable, but they don't last forever. Feelings can't last forever.
One in four pregnancies will result in miscarriage. One in eight women will experience infertility. One in 100 women will experience recurrent miscarriage. And one in 160 births end in stillbirth. Have you been wanting to make a difference in the lives of women or men who have experienced pregnancy loss because you can see so many suffering in silence, but you just don't know how? Collectively, we can change how bereaved parents can access mental, physical, and emotional support after their experience. There is a lot of women with unhealed trauma, and there is a huge gap in the current support system when it comes to bereaved parents' recovery after loss. There are too many women and men suffering in silence. The Pregnancy Loss Practitioner Certification is a worldwide, one-of-a-kind program that gives you proven methods designed for healthcare professionals, medical staff, midwives, nurses, doulas, birth workers, coaches, and angel parents alike. The Pregnancy Loss Practitioner Certification is bridging that gap. It will give you a proven support structure to follow and education specific to pregnancy loss, created by a loss mum. It is creating more education specifically for loss so that you can enhance your service and become the point of difference. Or you can create the support that you so desperately needed in your healing after loss. this is the next level of growth and expansion you have been searching for. So does this sound like something that you have been searching for? Let's explore this more together. You can head to the episode show notes where you'll find the program application, or direct message me on Instagram and let's open up the conversation in how you can use this education. You have a gift, and I look forward to supporting you and witnessing you bring your gift to the world, healing and transforming women's lives. I know you've mentioned a few things about like sort of reconnecting to yourself and your partner. I love how you reference it to coming home to your body, because, you know, that's ideally where we want to be. Like, our body is safe. Our body is home, and it can be very hard to be in our body after loss. I know you've mentioned a few things before, but is there anything else that, like, any other tools or a practice or something that they can do to start to come home?
So I've got two. There's like the entry level, and then there's the big guns. Entry level is every stupid little self-care thing that you know you should be doing. That's entry level. You know, for me, I didn't know how to take care of my broken heart, but I did know how to take care of my body. So even though I wanted to be rid of my body, I just took care of my body. So I went to bed early, right? I got up and I moved my body. I would get outside first thing in the morning and do some exercise. Exercise doesn't have to be hard. Can be. It can be a long walk. Whatever feels like the kindness to your body, just do it. I would eat vegetables every day, right? This is the kind of kindness to your body I'm talking about. Things we, if you feel like it's going to be a kindness, do it, right? Then the big guns is, and this is not for someone who's immediately postpartum because it's just too much, but like if you're a few months out, few years out, and you still feel disconnected from your body, Taoist breast massage is my favorite practice for getting back connected to your body. So you can do three levels of touch. You can do no touch. If you're going to try it when you're postpartum, do no touch, just the palms of the hands hovering over the breasts. If you're going to do it when you're, because otherwise you're just going to lactate and too emotional. If you want to do, my favorite is very light finger touch, very fingertips, just very light, or palms of the hands with a firm touch. You can do it. I have a shirt on, but no bra. I do it that way sometimes, or you can do it shirtless. If you do firm touch and shirtless, you're going to want massage oil. So whatever level of touch, you go up on the inside, down on the outside 36 times. And then let's keep it simple. Just bow your head and sort of feel for a few breaths. And then you can go in the reverse direction. Reverse direction, the Taoists say, do not do if there is like a lump in your breast. If you have a cancer situation, don't do down the cleavage up the sides. That's the growth direction. But most of us, it's fine to do the growth direction. Or for most of your life, it's fine to do the growth direction. The other one, the first one that goes up the cleavage down the armpits, that is breaking up stagnation direction, and that's appropriate for everyone. And you just do 36 circles of the touch you desire, really just feeling it. The attention is with the touch, cultivating a feeling of love in your heart, delivering the love through your hands to the breasts, and then just pausing and feeling. There's a little bit more, like there's a breath work that goes with it, but it's not easy to convey over quick. Like I would need a little more time, but yeah. Just touching the breasts and feeling the breasts. It sounds overly simple, but it really does help reconnect you to your body with a loving attitude.
Mm.
So give it a try. Love in the heart, touching gently, feeling, then pause. Okay? As many times as you want. I like to practice it like three times a day, three different, 36 circles times three, right? The number isn't important to me. It's important to some people. It's not important to me.
It's beautiful. I've not done that before. There might be something that I'll actually look to implement as well. But like you said, there were like just to even start small. Like for me, it was to get out, go for a walk, go to the beach. I needed to get out, and I felt like Mother Nature really was my place of complete. I could never be angry or overly emotional when I was at the water. It almost felt like everything that I was feeling, she took that away.
So it's like you too, like the ocean is holding it for you.
Yeah. And I'd allow any feeling, any emotion to come up while I was there. If I wanted to cry, I'd cry. But it wasn't as if like it wasn't a consuming emotion. It was just like, okay, it's coming and it's going. Like, and it was really cleansing. The cry wouldn't last that long. Like it would be, you know, a short period of time. And I was like, oh, I'm done and I'm calm. And so, yes, just really. And I think having a list, write a list of these things that actually you want to be able to do for yourself. Because sometimes in the moments where you're not thinking straight and you're like, oh, I want to do some self-care, but I don't know what I want to do. If you have it sort of written down somewhere, you're like, oh, okay, I can make myself a coffee and go and sit outside in the sunshine and let the sun just hit my back or my face, or I can go for a walk, or I can go to the beach, or go and sit at a little coffee shop that is a really nice little vibing place that has nice energy, like just something different. And I think for me, having a list worked for me anyway, whether it works for someone else. But I needed to know what I could do in those moments that I felt so down, but I also couldn't think straight. So I couldn't think off the top of my head what to do. The massage is beautiful too. Like that bringing the touch back into our body, bringing that connection back in. And I think that's, you know, where we get so disconnected. And when we're able to bring that safe touch back, it's restoring that sense of like, oh, okay, you know, I'm here in my body right now and it's okay.
Yes. And, you know, there's the energetics of it too, where the heart and the breasts are part of the heart chakra. So like this part of the body is very associated with love. And even if you're like not feeling love for your body in the moment, this is the way you cultivate it. Like sometimes going through the motions of it, in the same way, going for the motions of caring for my body with healthy veggies every day or whatever, or going to the ocean, right? Like going through the motions of I'm going to take care of my body actually does cultivate love for the body. Going through the motions of like, I'm going to devote myself to my heart center, including my breasts, does cultivate a feeling of love in the body, sort of despite ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of just like overrides it all.
It does. Action really does speak louder than words. You can go like, I'm not big on mantras. I'm not big on positive thinking. It's okay if you are. It works for a lot of people. It doesn't work for me. I just get really cynical. But actions speak really a lot louder than words for me.
Mm.
And to myself and to my subconscious and to my body, right?
Yeah.
Just act with kindness and love and the rest will catch up.
I agree with you on the affirmations. I love quotes, but to be able to shift my mindset, to shift my energy, to shift my physiology and psychology, that didn't work. Yeah. I was just like, I felt for years I was trying and for years I felt like a failure because I'm like, why are these not working for me? But definitely bringing that touch back in allows us to connect to kind of to our source, which is our body.
Yeah. And sometimes things come up. I mean, I do have to nod that sometimes, like I've done breast massage where what came up was, oh, you remember how much you hated your breasts in middle school? And I had to, if that comes up for you, if some kind of self-loathing or memory of it comes up, that's the time when I apologize to my breasts for being so mean to them when I was 13 years old, 14 years old, right? Like, you get to make peace. You get to resolve old things. If that's what comes up, well, that's what you get to work with. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so silly to apologize to my breasts, but it doesn't feel silly. It doesn't feel silly in the body.
No. And there, it's like sort of childhood wounds in a way. Like we create these things about ourselves, about who we are as a person. And we talk down to ourselves in those moments. And it's okay to know that in that moment you did what you did, but now that belief about yourself isn't serving you, that apologizing. And when I've done childhood work before, it is about holding that version of ourselves and going, you know what? It's okay. It's okay that we did or you did that thing at that time. You created that belief, but being able to sit with that version of you and apologize or show safety, show compassion, show kindness, maybe because you didn't have it, or maybe because everyone else had bigger boobs and yours weren't big enough. And then you felt like everyone was judging you and, or you were being bullied. Yeah. It's okay to go back now as an adult and go, you know what? You're okay. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this to you then. This is how I felt. I felt like I needed to, but I don't need that. And you can resolve, you can start resolving those patterns, those old patterns that are still, that would be playing out like as an undercurrent in your life.
Yeah. Powerful work.
I want to say I'm so grateful for you to come on the show, Kate, and share everything that you have today. It's been so valuable, even to me. Years out from my loss, I'm still learning.
I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you for having
me. You're so welcome. Before we jump off, though, like, where can people find you, see what you do, see what you're up to?
If you need to join the support group, it's endingawantedpregnancy.com, and that's for Facebook people. If you would like to work with me one-on-one, coaching, couples, whatever, that's nightbloomcoaching.com. I also have a blog that some of your listeners might feel good to read at nightbloomcoaching.com. Night as in like, not the day. Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, coaching, all one.
Yeah. I'll make sure that I'll link it all in so that they're only one click away from you if they need you.
Oh gosh, for grieving people, it should always be. It's hard to even think straight when you're in the throes.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe these, you know, to know that this support is available for you, to know that the support that you're offering also is coming from a place of, you know, where they've been, you've walked their shoes, you know what they're navigating and how you can support them out of it. They're not talking to someone who's just reading it from a textbook or heard it or seen it somewhere. And then you have developed your practice around wanting to support women or couples navigating life, including their sex life and including their, you know, reconnecting to their bodies after loss. So I really appreciate everything that you've done and doing.
Thank you. It's one of those things where the sexuality bit is, it's not as big a taboo as my late term abortion, but it's like, it's a taboo anyway. And it's just like layers. If you have pregnancy loss, you've got taboo going on and then you layer this, but it deserves to be brought into the light. It really deserves love and attention.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Kate, for being a part of the What I Wish I Knew After Pregnancy Loss podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to all that have listened in. If this episode was valuable to you, I invite you to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and I look forward to supporting you on the next episode. Thank you for listening in with me today. I hope you found this episode helpful. If you did, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Take a screenshot of this episode, share it to social media, and tag me at @instituteofhealing_PL. I love seeing what is resonating with you right now. If you want to chat further, I invite you to connect with me through Instagram. Head over and follow my Instagram account, send me a DM, and let's open the communication. If you want to know more about how you can be the support for others, head to the show notes and fill out the application form for the Pregnancy Loss Practitioner Certification. I want to also note here that what I share within the episodes is not medical advice. If you need further support, please consult your doctor. Thank you again. Much love to you. Be gentle with yourself, and I look forward to supporting you on the next episode.